Hey, welcome to Flight Risk Studios podcast show. I'm your host, Robert Bruden, and it is an incredibly fun day today because we published a new book. So it is also, by the way, because I have to tell you this, it's March 12th, 2024, and welcome to the show. And like I said, we are having a good day because today was publishing day, and I'm excited for this book. It's called Presence, Your Key to Peace, Clarity, and Resilience in a Chaotic World. And really what it is just a very, it's a brief book. It's not a long read, but it's really about being present in the moment. You know, we've talked a lot about, we've talked a little bit about some things going on in the political world, some things going on around the world. We've talked about what our role in all that is and honestly should be, and how, you know, you have to really kind of get down to a point where it's what can I actually do, or what part of this can I make a change in, and what part of it do I just have to let go and let God, as they say. So it's easy to get caught up in the worries of the world. It's easy to get caught up into being overly dramatic about things that you really just don't have. I'm not suggesting that you shouldn't have an opinion, but I am saying that we can all get a little over dramatized by what we can and can't do in a certain situation. And there are just certain things that are gonna happen. They do happen. Doesn't mean we gotta lie down for it, but it also means that you can't lose sight of who you are and lose sight of what you can focus on and have that dictate the reality of your life being out of control. So today we're going to talk about this book a little bit, and you know, the chapter one begins with the power of present moment awareness. Okay, so what I mean by all that is, you know, we really have to take a couple of minutes out of moments in a day to slow down and be aware of what's going on. Are we present right now in this moment? Is my am I getting way off the beaten path? You know, a distracted way of life, instead of being present in the moment, you can get distracted. And I suffer from that a great deal, is getting distracted instead of focusing on what I need to focus on in that particular moment. For some of you, you'll call it ADHD. For others, it's, you know, just part of your existence. You know, we have to get the chatter out of our mind and rest in the aliveness and immediately of the present, you know. When you can get that chatter out of your head, and we're going to talk about that later in the show, you know, you can focus on what you need to focus on right now, and that's really important. That's why you have to take and put things in perspective for the day that are bite-sized chunks. Learn to bring yourself back by breathing. Learn to not judge or be critical of yourself if you see yourself returning your attention to nonsense versus returning your attention back to the present moment and anchoring it in with breathing. You know, it is amazingly, well, I shouldn't have said amazingly. It's amazing that it, just the simple act of breathing in through the nose, out through the mouth, and just chilling for a second, you know, and do that a few minutes out of different periods of your day, you know, and what you'll learn how to do is anchor moments in the breath, you know, anchoring it in the breath. You know, don't judge or criticize yourself. Keep returning attention to the present moment, anchoring it in the breath. So breathing, moving your airflow in through your nose and out through your mouth, in with the good, out with the bad, as they say. So, you know, use this, and we talk about it for a bit in the book, you know, and it's that simple act is incredibly powerful. And what's crazy is most people think everything has to be some complicated process. And when you realize that life is not a complicated process, then it becomes a little easier to live it. Because it's not a complicated process. It's us who complicate the process. That's what screws up your life, is we complicate our process in life. Life doesn't do that. We do. So think about that for a minute and let that soak in some, and then, you know, see if it doesn't resonate with you. Chapter 2 of this book is Overcoming Mental Time Travel. You know, and so I thought that was a pretty catchy title, because we tend to and focus on things that haven't even happened yet. May not even happen yet. Half the shit we worry about never comes to fruition. It never manifests itself, but only in our minds. You know, oh my God, I'm going to lose this. I'm going to lose that. This is going to happen. That's going to happen. Well, you keep focusing on it that way, and it's damn sure gonna. But give yourself a moment to think about, did any of that shit ever manifest? And even if it did, think about the worst thing that's ever happened to you in your life, and you're still here. You're still standing. May not be where you want to be, but you're still here and you're still standing. You're breathing. Okay, so let's move on. It's making you miserable to project outwards, to time travel into places where you're not even at. That's why being present in the moment is so liberating. And it is, does take some work to learn how to do, no doubt, but nothing worth having actually, you know, something free is just that, it's free. It's, you know, it's never something that's handed to you. I'll give you a prime example of something that when you have to sit back and think about this, you know, people always say, why does God let things happen? Why does God let things happen to good people? And I would redirect your thoughts to, God allowed his son to die for us, for our sins. But imagine witnessing the beating that he took, which scholars throughout time have said they don't know how he even survived the whipping that he took. And if you watched the movie Passion of the Christ and you saw what they whipped Jesus with, you know, and it's not about, you know, the allowing of that. You know, you have to look deeper in that. That's when we go into critical thinking and critical thought and go in and research the reasons around that, you know. Finally, man was given free will. Well, with that, you know, there's some pretty fucked up people. And their free will, when it's unleashed upon you, can be unbelievable. You know, why is there cancer? Why is there this? Why is there that? I can't answer those questions, honestly. I don't know, because but all I do know is that if I let myself roll off the deep end on those questions, you know, it can drive me to where I can't ever really focus on being present in this moment. And that's really my thing. Is I took something incredibly extreme and took it to the point where, you know, I can question all those things, but at some point in time I have to accept it and move on. You know, I don't have to like it. You don't have to like it. I wouldn't expect you to. When I lost my sister and my father both to cancer, you know, I'm not the only person that's lost a family member to cancer. You know, fuck cancer, as they say. I can't tell you why those type of things happen. But at the end of the day, you have to decide whether you're going to have faith or not have faith. You know, you're going to decide whether you're atheist, agnostic, or a believer. Accept it and move on. That's what I'm talking about here, is you have to accept certain things in life so that you can focus down and be present in what is going on with today. What can I change today? What can I do about being the best person I can be today? Even when you are thrown very chaotic and very mind or very life-changing events that can really take away your reason. You know, when my sister passed away, it not a day goes by that I don't wish that she was here with me. You know, I miss her a lot. You know, every day I you know, her dog lives with me now, and you know, he's a constant reminder, because that was, you know, her baby. And I can let those things move me away, or I can say, what about today? What is there today that I can do that's going to make me mindful of, I have to live my life. I have to find balance in all of these relationships in life. And rather than activity unconsciously swept away. And what I mean by activities is the racing of the mind, the chatter in your head. Take what you need and move on. Excuse me. Make peace with everything in your life. You know, make peace with jaded pasts. Make peace with fucked up pasts. Make peace with stupid decisions. Make peace that as long as you're not the same person that you were and you have changed, then you have something to hold on to. You have something to take you to the next step in life. And so here's what being present really means. The past is already gone. The future's not here. There's only one moment for you to live, the present moment. By learning to ground ourselves in the here and now, we discover a timeless peace and freedom that is our most profound nature. And we moved on to chapter 3, which is the wisdom of the body. You know, there's a lot of things. There's, you know how people say, you know, I did this mind, body, and soul, you know? Well, they're all connected together. So we do have to have some wisdom of what our body is telling us. And we do have to take moments to find ourselves able to relax. Learning to let the tension and stress leave your body. You know, if you want to clear the chatter in your head, meditation is an amazing, and you don't have to do it. There's nothing, you know, that, again, let's keep it simple. So what we want to do is just simply lay down and learn how to relax. I actually use meditation music. I put headphones on so that I drown out, you know, the everything, the all the ambient noise around, and just able to focus on the music. And I've had some incredibly profound experiences in this way. You may be able to do it with without the sound. You may feel more relaxed when you're listening to ocean sounds, bird sounds, forest sounds, rain, thunderstorms, ocean waves crashing. There's a bajillion things out there that you could listen to, that, you know, the crackling of a fire. A friend of mine and I were talking on the phone the other night as I was sitting out burning a fire in my fire pit out on my patio, and we both were talking about how that helps us find that Zen moment, that moment of relaxation, so that you can learn to be present in the moment. I was present in that moment because it was helping me to relax. The crackling of the fire, the dancing of the flames, those type of things, they help me relax. That's being present in the moment. Because at that moment, I wasn't worried about anything. All I was worried, really, the only thing I was worried about was just talking to Jessica, you know, and just enjoying that moment that we had together there as friends. And that we shared that moment. It was really great. And then after that conversation, then it was, you know, just me able to be there in that moment. And there is such a cathartic wave that comes over you that you just, it's just like, oh my God, wow. You know, you can learn to bring your attention to the sensations in the toes of the left foot, the right foot. Notice whatever feelings are present in that moment. Warmth or coolness, pressure, tingling, pulsing. If you don't feel much, that's okay too. Just notice what's there. Slowly move your attention up the foot to the ankle, calf, knee, thigh, pausing at each region and mindfully feeling present sensations. Using breathing to relax the body, relax the tension, relax the stress. And with practice, the body scan helps us release patterns of holding and contraction. Familiarizing yourself with your body's subtle language is what a body scan is. And I'm not going to get much into it. Go get the book. But that's, but when you learn to do those things, it also is an ally to staying present in the moment. Not to mention the beautiful benefits of just uncluttering the shit out of your head. Your scattered attention finally becomes focused. You know, there's other ways, you know, man or woman, you can do these things. Yoga, Tai Chi, you know, other just spiritual body awareness stretches, strengths, and exercises. It's completely, you know, go read the Yoga Sutras. If you don't know what Yoga Sutras are, I would go read them. Go read the Yoga Sutras of Patanjali. It's pretty cool. And, you know, a lot of people say, oh, you know, and I'm sitting there going, how many people have heard or read or heard they should read The Art of War by Sun Tzu? Well, it's the same thing. You know, The Art of War by Sun Tzu is not hard, it's not a hard read, you know, at all. In fact, it's pretty short and not a hard read. And it allows you to think about what he's saying. Well, the Yoga Sutras by Patanjali are the same thing. And it's ancient. And when you sit there and you go, wow, you know, that's pretty profound. So I would highly recommend that. And using your body's wisdom, we discover a powerful doorway into the depth and fullness of the present moment. And that's the thing. When you learn how to evolve into that depth of being in the present moment, holy moly, hello, you will be able to conquer lots of stuff. Lots and lots of stuff. Chapter 4 of the book is meeting challenges with a uniqueness that's you. Life is full of pressures, difficulties, and stressors. Big and small, a looming deadline at work, a tense conversation with a loved one, and the creeping anxiety of an uncertain future. And that's one of the biggest things, I think, and one of the things that, hell, even I worry about that today. Because you look at all the shit, you know, that's being piled on us via social media, via the news, our government, everything. Doesn't matter what the hell side of the fence you're on, it's all fucked up. And when these challenging situations arise, our habitual response is often panic, frustration, and reactivity. The body tenses up, the mind spins out of worst case scenarios, and we say or do things that we later regret. Caught in the grip of stress, we lose access to our inner wisdom and feel drained and out of control. Nothing could be more important in this book than that statement right there, honestly. When these challenging situations arise, our habitual response is to often panic, frustration, and reactivity. The body tenses up, the mind spins out worst case scenarios, and we say or do things that we later regret. Caught in the grip of stress, we lose access to our inner wisdom and feel drained and out of control. What have I really kind of been talking about? What's about damn near every book that I write? Something in just about every podcast that I do is learning to live around a chaotic world. Because we all have it. And we all get caught in the grip of stress. So, when I talk about meditation, breathing, just being able to, if nothing more, just go out and take a walk. Be in nature. I don't have time. I have kids. I have a job. I have obligations. No shit. So does everybody else. Sometimes just watching our kids at play and realizing that there was a day when we could live that carefree. Being present in the moment for your child. What a gift that is for your family. Taking a walk with a significant other. You're going to remember those times versus, oh my God, he gave me a Louis Vuitton purse, or he gave me a bracelet, or he gave me a, you know, she bought me a hunting rifle, she bought me a new fishing pole, you know, I got a shirt, you know. Years go by, and what you will remember is those moments where you were really, truly present in the moment. That will stay way more so than everything else. You'll recall together, you'll go, you remember years ago when we were sitting there, and both of you, because you were both present in that moment, go, oh yeah, that's what made me love you so much. That's when I felt more close to you then than I did at any other time in our relationship or before. Those are the times that you remember, the times where you're present, the times where you truly are emotionally, physically, and mentally there. One of the most powerful tools for cultivating equanimity is the STOP practice, an acronym that stands for S. Stop when you notice you're feeling stressed and reactive. Pause and give yourself a gift of stillness, just chill. T, take a breath. O, observe, notice what's happening in your inner experience. And P, proceed, having checked in with your present moment experience. The STOP practice creates a space between stimulus and response, allowing us to skillfully engage in life's challenges. You know, most things, most, and God love her, my ex, told me, she goes, you know, you fight monsters in the closet that aren't even in the closet. And that's the whole thing. When if you learn to govern your passion, you learn to not project into the future, all relates back to being present to right now. And then a key to this being lasting is the cultivating of patience and perspective. You know, when we're wrapped up in our dramas, it's easy to lose sight of the bigger picture and forget everything is impermanent and that life is unpredictable. Nothing is permanent and life is unpredictable. We want to force our agenda and timeline onto a fluid reality. So, what happens when you put your hand in a river? It blocks the water from flowing. It flows another way instead of flowing through your hand. It flows around your hand. So, do you want life to flow around you, or do you want life to flow through you? Think about that for a minute. Patience in learning to allow things to happen on the universe's time, God's time, whatever you want to call it, is allowing things to move in a way that it's supposed to. It's how it's supposed to be. You know, people say, oh, you know, I'm the master of my reality. Well, you can be. You can do the work. But when you force the work, it's just like a batter. If you force the swing, guess what the pitcher's going to do? He's going to strike you out. When you force something to happen, you know, I'm not saying you don't be creative to work it, but when you force it, it never really works out the way you want it to. You grab that big cheater bar and say, I'm going to force this, and you spin the bolt off instead of, you know, doing bits at a time. You try to do the whole thing at once and you spin the nut off, and now you're really screwed because you got to figure out how to drill it out. It's giant, it's huge, and it's a major oops that just cost you more time and more money. You know, there's a reason that when you put a seed in the ground, that you have to have patience for the plant to actually grow. Certain things have to happen in order for that process to complete itself. So when you plant a tomato plant, you're going to have to wait a little while and have some patience before you start having tomatoes. And when you have that patience and you do those, most people are going, oh God, can you take some tomatoes from my tomato plant at the house? I can't keep up. How many friends have had over your space of time that grew a garden and said, oh my God, can you take a couple things out of my garden? Because when things are there to naturally progress to their fullest potential, it usually ends up in an abundance. Think about those things for a minute. You know, it's like trying to force something in a love affair. Let your partner get there. If they get there, your bond will be so unbelievably strong that it won't be broken. But you force it. Make it happen. I'm going to make him love me. I'm going to make him do this. I'm going to make her do that. No, that never works out. Ever. And there's a price to be paid for that. So don't allow life to unfold the way that it should. Learn to savor simple pleasures, chapter 5. You know, be mindful of things that you're doing every day. Be mindful that you went out and got in a car that actually started and got you to work. Be mindful that you were able to eat a lunch, even if it was, you know, soup. Be mindful that you could even get out of your bed and take a shower, put on clean clothes, and meet your day. Notice the food's color. Notice the color of the trees. Take a minute to watch the birds. Take a minute to see what's going on in the life around you. Learn to swallow the flavors of life, the sensations. These keep you in the moment. These keeps you at your highest level of achievement and your highest level of being able to achieve that which you set out to do. Because you're not running your head 1,000 miles an hour, and it actually all makes sense to you because you're not confused. You're not in an unstable situation. Your mind is stable, therefore it's able to reach depths of consciousness that you didn't know you had. When you can learn to do that, that's the essence of a well-lived life. You know, enjoy life, meet people, have relationships, simply being nice to people. You know, what's amazing to me is I've reached out to some of my friends on social media, and those, you know, sometimes, you know, you get ghosted, or you go, oh shit, I don't want to talk to this person, you know, and it just doesn't work out. But then others, you know, things develop into something that you realize that, wow, they believe the same way I believe, they see the same way that I see, you know, and it becomes something really, really, really cool. And so you really have to deepen your relationships. Share with people. Let them know, hey, what's up? Think about it. And it's amazing, through this process, how much richer and fuller your life can be. And lastly, in the book, it's called What Next? And it's living presence in every moment. Living presence. Think about that statement for a moment. What do I mean by that? That you have to be doing something that's living. You're cultivating something. You're doing something. And that could be something as simple as I'm cultivating a, oh wow, I feel more relaxed. You're living that presence. And learn to live it in every moment of your day. And you will be able to access a profound source of ease, clarity, wisdom, and joy. You just have to practice. Why do you think they call it a yoga practice? Why do you think sports people go out in their sports and practice? They don't just wait from game to game, they actually go out and practice. Why do you think actors go out and practice their craft? Why do you think photographers go out and just take photos? I go out and do that all the time. It may not, you know, I may end up erasing them from my camera, but I went out to learn my craft, learn composition, learn how to focus and frame the shot that I want to see, and out of some of that has come some of my best photos. Because I practice. Practice, practice, practice. And I'm being present in that moment. And what does it do? It gives me a profound source of ease, clarity, wisdom, and joy. Who doesn't want that in their life? And also remember that what's unfolding before you is a path to the ultimate conclusion. So don't freak out if it's not unfolding the way that you see it. It's unfolding it the way that it should be, that it's supposed to be. The destination will be the same, just have some patience. But keep doing the work. You know? When we learn to these things, it truly is uplifting and amazing. So we're going to end it there today. I hope that you got something out of this. You can follow the link in my bio in our podcast show. It'll take you where you can get on my Amazon author page. Excuse me, I get a little tongue-tied there. I think you will find that this is really a good book. It's a nice how-to. It's a, you know, and the beauty part of it is it's not hard to do. The book's called Presence, Your Key to Peace, Clarity, and Resilience in a Chaotic World. And I hope that it brings you joy and peace. And I appreciate you guys listening to me. This is a Flight Risk Podcast show with your host, Robert Bruton. That's me. Thanks and bye for now.